Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. I am so glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, and give us a like. So, today on the Kingdom Crossroads, we have a guest back that we've already had on here before, Lori Wildenberg. Grandparents make grand partners. All right, she has this book. You can obviously go to LoriWildenberg.com and check out her information. But today she is going to talk to us about grandparents and discipleship with grandchildren. I will tell you that as a grandparent, you can be an amazing source of information. You can actually do an amazing work with your grandchildren. Number one, a lot of times you're retired and you have the time. And then number two, it's not just your grandchildren, but your grandchildren have friends. They have people that are coming around as well. And so being able to disciple them, I think it's an incredible opportunity. And so you're in a great position. You know, sometimes we forget we have a good captive audience sitting right in front of us. It may not just necessarily be the audience that's in faraway lands, but it's the people sitting right in front of us. Jesus wants to reach them too. Remember that. Jesus wants to reach them too. So without further ado, Lori, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, T.S. I'm so excited to come back. That feels like a really nice honor. So thank you.
You bet. Amen. Amen. So Lori, I'm just going to let you take it away. Talk about what are some things grandparents can do to start that process of making sure that they're ready to do it, but then also discipling their grandchildren, as well as the people that are connected to their grandchildren?
Yes. So I think sometimes disciple our children or to disciple others, kind of that term, sometimes freaks people out. And it doesn't have to be something that's scary or worrisome. Disciple basically means to train. And we are in a position to train, right? Here we are adults, and we can definitely train our kiddos, even our grandkids, if we happen to have that particular relationship with their parents, that they trust us to do that with them. And we can talk about the situations where they don't. But for now, we're going to look at situations where we're in a position of trust where we can disciple or train our grandkids. I always think that it starts out with great prayer, right? To start there is, I think, really important. To be asking the Lord, first of all, for the words and the wisdom and the timing in when to have various conversations or speak various prayers or blessings over our grandkids. But I do think the first thing is really to pray about and pray for opportunities, and then that the Lord brings things to mind. Well, we have to have things in our mind for Him to bring them to mind. So we need to get into the scriptures. If we want to be talking about the Lord, the place we get to know Him is in the Bible. So really great for us to start diving in and getting to know the Lord. And if that feels a little less comfortable for you, maybe start with the Gospels to get to know Jesus. Because if we know Jesus, we know the Lord. So those would be some recommendations I would say that's the foundation, to start with prayer and to be familiar with your Bible. Now, you don't have to have everything memorized. You can learn together. You can both be disciples. You can learn together with your grandkids. And that's a pretty cool thing too. If they ask you a question, hey, you know, what does something mean? Say, well, I'm not sure. Let's check it out. And that's really good to learn together. So those would be the places that I would start. And then some things that we can do, even if we are not in a position where we can disciple we can still pray. And I have a few prayer prompts that I think would be helpful for parents and grandparents alike to pray for their grandkids or their children. And we can pray even if we are not currently in relationship. And so I think here are a few. Can I go ahead and list them off to you? Would that be okay?
Absolutely. You bet.
All right. Well, we can pray for them to know Jesus. And these short prayers like, Lord, I pray that you work deeply in my grandchild's heart to know you. Amen. I mean, it doesn't have to be some big, long, fancy prayer. God likes us talking to him, right? We don't have to try to, I don't know, dress it up in a sense. And that comes from John 6:29, which says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he has sent. So we want our kids to know Jesus. And then in the process of that, we want them to have a deeper faith, to deepen their faith. And oh, I love it that you're putting the verses up. So here's another one. Let's see. It's 1 Peter 2:1-3, to deepen their faith. Lord, draw my grandchildren to you and give them a desire to have a close and deep relationship with you. And what that verse actually says is, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind, like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, to grow up, to keep getting stronger, deeper, and that you have tasted and the Lord is good. So deepen the faith, know Jesus, deepen their faith, have a good relationship with their mom and dad. Even if we do not have a good relationship with our adult children, it is still important for us to pray for our grandkids and our adult children to have a good relationship with one another. This is from Exodus 20:12. Heavenly Father, I pray my children love, honor, and respect their mom and dad. Amen. So that they can choose good friends, because we know that their peer group really is quite important. And as they get older, it gets to be even more important. So Lord, we want them to, as it says in Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Father, give my grandchildren the wisdom to choose good and godly friends, to discover their purpose. And I think in today's culture, it's pretty important for our kids and our grandkids to understand that they were born on purpose for a purpose and created on purpose for a purpose. And their passions are usually the things that help us figure out what their purpose might be. And the purpose may change according to their age and stage, but often the passions stay the same. So to be praying for that. And this is from Ephesians 2:10, where it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance to do. This is our calling. And we want to be able to encourage our kids and grandkids in the purpose that God has created for them to fulfill, to pray about developing godly character. We can pray the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22-23 for our grandkids, to have the ability to know God's voice, to hear his voice. And again, they need to be in scripture in order to recognize what the Lord's voice is. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So Lord, help my kids, help my grandkids recognize your voice. You are the good shepherd. John 10:27. Also that they would have discernment and wisdom. We want them to be able to make wise decisions and to discern not only good from evil, but good from godly, because sometimes something, it seems good, but it may not be godly. And so we want to be able to discern the good from the evil, but also the good from the godly. So ask for for that wisdom for your kids and your grandkids. Philippians 1, 9 through 10. Being courageous, having the courage to do the right thing, the good thing, the best thing, the godly thing in the moment. And that's tough. That's a tough thing. But to pray for our grandkids and our kids to be able to be strong and courageous. Be on your guard and stand firm in the faith. Be courageous and be strong. That's from 1 Corinthians 16:13. We can ask God for that quality of courage and bravery in our grandkids and in our kids, to protect them from ungodly influences. I think this is a big prayer right now. There's a lot of stuff that is surrounding our kids and our grandkids that we should be praying about for them, protecting them from the evil influences. And I would even recommend keeping an eye on how much time when they're in your presence, if they're on their screens. There's a lot of stuff that can get accessed just via the screens. In fact, most 13-year-olds would say that they have already been accidentally exposed to porn because they've been on their screens. So that's pretty important. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. God will protect them. And hopefully, if they do run across something like this, they are able to tell their parents. And that's from 2 Thessalonians 3:3, to pray for their protection from ungodly influences, to pray for a good work ethic. Father, bestow the ability of my grandkids to persevere in hard things. A lot of kids are struggling with anxiety and depression, partly because they have not been able to learn how to be resilient and to be hopeful in various circumstances. We want them to have a good work ethic and to learn from mistakes. So Colossians 3, 23 through 24 is where that comes from. And then for that they can be content in their circumstances rather than always wanting something different, always wanting something more, but to experience contentment. And one of the best ways to experience that is to have a thankful heart and to pray for a grateful and thankful heart. And then to be able to forgive. As we are moving through this culture, we are finding that we are entering a space where people are not demonstrating grace and forgiveness with one another. They are angry if someone doesn't feel the same way they do or they have a different worldview. We need to be able to forgive each other and to have dialogue and to recognize that we are different people and we may not always see things the same, and that's okay, and we can talk about it. But to have a heart that is willing to forgive, to be forgiven, and to ask for forgiveness, I think that's a really wonderful thing to pray. And of course, as we want them to dive into God's word and to get them to know the Lord better, we would really like to have our kids just love the word of God. And we can pray for that. Lord, I pray that my grandkids, that my kids are drawn to your word and have a deep love for it. And then also for honesty and integrity, because we always want to represent Jesus well and to be honest and have integrity in our behavior and our actions. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 8:21. So that gives us a really good place to start, I believe, when we want to disciple our grandkids, is first of all, praying for ourselves and how we can best do that. And then for our grandkids, what are some prayers that we can have? And then we have such a wonderful groundwork. They will be so ready to have you disciple them and to train, and not to think that that's a big, scary endeavor. It's discipling can be organic, and it also can be a little more formal. Yet I do think that the organic conversations when we disciple our grandkids and our kids are probably the most impactful. So would you like me to go on with some examples, or what are you thinking here, Tia?
Well, I think a couple of examples would be great. That way it helps to, you know, it just makes people feel comfortable when they see an example given. Oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, it just helps to make sense of things when we have examples.
Yeah. Well, I have a little story for you then. My grandson, who was 3 at the time, he just turned 5, but he was 3 at the time, and I was taking him to the Birch Aquarium in La Jolla, California. And we were driving there, and as we were going, we were passing beautiful scenery. And I started talking about God being the creator. Like, look at, the Lord made the ocean. Look at how beautiful it is, and how blue. And look at the sky and the clouds that are dotting the sky, and how beautiful these palm trees are, and all the creatures that are in the ocean. God created those too. And do you know what? God created you, and he created your sisters, and he created your mom and dad, and he created Papa, and he created me. God is the creator, and he made all of this so beautiful with so many different colors, and we get to enjoy that. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, for being the creator. So that was a little conversation, and who, you know, you don't know how much a 3-year-old is taking in. We got to the aquarium, and we were looking at this big tank that it didn't have any information on it. So I was wondering what this crazy fish was that was sitting flat on the bottom of the aquarium and all the sand. And I almost wondered if it was dead. It was very strange looking, and there were eyes on it, seemed on its back. And there was a man that was there with his son, who I would guess was about my grandson's age, probably around 3. And I said, I could tell that they'd been to the aquarium before. And I said, what kind of fish is that? That is the craziest looking fish I've ever seen. And he said, it's a halibut. And I said, oh my goodness, I had no idea they look like that. And then he said, yeah, isn't evolution fascinating? And then he turned around and walked away. Well, it wasn't my job to disciple him, right? It wasn't up to me to train him on creationism versus evolution. But it was my job to reinforce creationism with my grandson. Now, the whole evolution thing, of course, went over his head. And that wasn't anything I needed to address. But what I said to my grandson is, isn't that cool how God created that halibut? And this is just the perfect way for this fish to be. And then, you know, we went through the rest of the aquarium and really didn't think much more about that halibut. And then we came back to his house and we were getting ready for lunch, and he wanted to pray. And I said, oh, that's great, you know, to pray before our lunch. Thanks for doing that. And he said, thank you, God, for being the creator of everything. So he got it. And we can do that in these small conversations. And I would say that it might not come to mind if you're not in God's word. So it's important for us to give God some material to work with that, you know, that we are prepared. So those are small things. Going for a walk, you can talk about God being the creator. There are these plants in Florida. I was just thinking of this, and they are, they're in the Everglades, and they kind of in the brackish sort of water. And on these green plants, they're all tangled together, and I forget the name of them, but there's always one little yellow leaf on there, and the rest of the plant is green. Well, that leaf takes in all the salt water, so the rest of the plant doesn't take it in because it would kill it. And that leaf is called a sacrificial leaf. Now, how cool is that? And that's something that we could also pass along to our grandkids. Things like that. So many things in creation I just read something the other day about a woodpecker and all of the force that goes into pecking. And if he weren't created by an intelligent being, created by the creator, his head would explode if he was trying to peck on some wood. So there's, especially in creation, there's so many wonderful ways that we can have organic conversations with our grandkids. So that, amen, that's something for us to be thinking about.
Amen. Amen. And I liked what you said, that it's discipleship is both in organic conversations, but also some of it is structured too.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to take the time to learn how to structurally teach those things. We are all called to make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And being trained and being discipled is an important part of that process. It's something that I have programs to disciple people as well that I run. And my books are designed to do that, is to disciple. But I will tell you that it's in the last book, or the last part of the book that I'll be writing, it's the only part I haven't written yet, is that whether it's grandkids or anybody, there are two sides to the teaching process when we're discipling. There is the structured side that it absolutely needs to be there because we need structure. And then there's the conversations that just happen, whether it's life questions, there's accountability, there's all these pieces that are embedded in discipleship. I will tell you, the most effective thing you do is not evangelizing, it's discipling. It truly is. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. The enemy of our souls hates discipleship. He knows the impact of it.
The training.
Yes.
You know, the training is just so important. Evangelism is important too.
It is.
But you don't want to stop there.
No.
Because you've got to get to the next step. And
there's a saying, converts will eventually run, disciples will die for it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Jesus
had a lot of converts around him that ended up just scattering and leaving.
Yeah.
But those disciples, they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is really good.
They even replaced the dead. Judas even got replaced. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's so important. And like you said, the formal training as well. It's really good to have both. And
amen.
Particularly the formal training, especially with grandparents, is more likely to occur around traditions and or teaching them to pray. Now, that doesn't necessarily have to be around a tradition at all. That can just be, you know, dinner time. Let's pray the joy prayer. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for others. Thank you for creating me. You know, something like that. So I think the traditions that we can do, we can really bring Jesus into the equation. I do something with my grandkids. I haven't done it with every single one of them yet because there hasn't been an opportunity, but I have done it with two of them so far, that we have had what I call an identity birthday party. And I have verses all written up about how we are created in God's image. And as Amen. Believers, we are children of God and we are adopted into his kingdom. And basically, a lot of it comes from Ephesians 1.
Amen.
And I write those things down and I've laminated them. And then I've got a little like gift or a trinket that goes with each one of those verses. And they do a scavenger hunt. And then we match the verse to the trinket. Let's say it's a flashlight. Jesus is the light of the world, something along those lines. And I've got it all specifically laid out in my Grandparents Make Grand Partners book, how to really bring these things into like to be concrete as well. So when they look at a flashlight, maybe the next time they look at that flashlight, they think, oh yeah, and Jesus is the light of the world. So those are, there's some things that you can do that really, especially for the little ones that are really hands-on and very well thought out. And it's not like it takes a lot of time, especially if you get the book, right? It's already written there for you. You don't have to come up with it. But I think those are really important things to know, that we are created in the image of God. And when we know that, that changes how we interact with other people, because they're created in God's image too. Whether they're believers or not, all humanity is created in God's image. Not all humanity is God's child. That's different. But everyone is worthy of respect because they are created in God's image. And I think those are things we can also reinforce. And I love God stories, right? Where you can say, some people will call them God winks, or a God incident, where you can talk about how the Lord showed up and maybe something that you learned. I had a situation with...
I have to jump in here.
Oh, are we running out of time? Oh, gosh.
So,
okay.
Grandparents, grand partners, make sure you go to Lori Wildenberg. That's LoriWildenberg.com and get this book. And I will tell you, I will bring Lori back on because she's got a lot more to say. We'll bring her on here in about a month or two, and we're going to let her speak some more because I love the message and I would love to continue on. We also tell you, go check out JesusSaid.tv. JesusSaid.tv. That is, you may be watching the broadcast on there right now. You can find future broadcasts on JesusSaid.tv. Also, you can go over to TSWrightSpeaks.com. You can check out my discipleship books, as well as you can go and message me if you've got questions, or you want to order bulks of the books, you want to order bulk order, or you might be interested in putting a program on JesusSaid.tv, which I can help you to do. All right, folks, well, we're out of time. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Have you ever wondered what Jesus really wants you to do? Do you want to understand the calling that he has on your life? Come join us on the God-Centered Concept Academy on tuvu.com and join our community, and you will learn everything you need to learn about getting to your calling and what the model of the gospel is really all about. Being able to share your faith, understanding how to help build the kingdom of God as we are meant to do and as Jesus called us to do.